I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to Clicking Balls. This is finals week two, all wrapped up. Yeah, it is week two, isn't it?
Week two.
It feels like it's been longer already.
It does.
My name is Heath, and the first question I ask every week is your highlight of the week. So, Josh, have you got a highlight of the week past?
Well, I'm going to reach over to Formula One again, because we just had the Italian Grand Prix, which was pretty good. We saw he's decided he might actually get a win, and he did brilliantly from start to finish. But it's funny because Mercedes have come out and complained that they think Ferrari's finding power in ways that they shouldn't. And the FIA has sort of gone, well, they're not doing anything illegal. And Mercedes is really pissed off about it. They said, us, Renault and Honda are all upset about this lack of parity. I'm like, mate, you've had three fucking years of engine domination.
Exactly. And I mean, if there's any country that's going to complain about finding unrealistic balances of power, it's going to be Germany.
But I wonder if their cars are wider compliant. Like, you know, can they fill the bottle?
Well, they're not even compliant with EPA, so...
Yeah. Willy Rioli's the inspector. But I found that fucking hilarious, to be honest. And I'm not a massive Ferrari fan, but they won fair and square. And it obviously wasn't just the car, because Seb Vettel decided to spend half the time spinning around the wrong way.
Yeah, just randomly going through corners, which is unusual.
Yeah.
Brenton, what's your highlight of the week? So here we go.
My highlight of the week is actually, so I was at work the other day, and we've had a pretty busy week at work. It's been pretty crazy with like a birthday celebration for the business and whatnot. But through a bit of luck, the boss has actually randomly come across a conversation where I was talking about our podcast. And he's like, what? You do a podcast? I'm like, yeah. He's like, how long have you done this for? I'm like, 4 years or something. He's like, you're fucking like just the man of mystery. Like, there's all this shit going on outside of here that no one knows anything about.
Keep going.
And, so anyway, he's like, well, we've been talking about doing our own podcast for a while now. How would you like to build a podcast studio for us?
So is it like a brewery podcast or something like that?
Well, it's going to be on that business. Yeah, it's going to be beer and wine and spirits and just basically what's going on. It's like a lot of aspects to it. But they're going to do video content, obviously podcast and a blog out of it.
Right.
So that's going to be the basis of obviously your online and...
the new and content strategy.
Yeah.
Have you heard about... DMT in beers? I mean, look into
it. Oh, here we go. Trust me, this is going to be pretty interesting. I've already got my poker table up there, so it could turn into poker stars or something. But anyway, he's like, yeah, but like, just try and just rein in the budget. Just try and keep it under $3,000.
So I'm seeing a $2,000 profit for you right there.
Exactly. I'm actually looking pretty good at this. And also, we've got ourselves a new podcast studio with beers on tap.
That's going to be a messy fucking podcast. In fact, I can see the Brownlow medal count suddenly improving 1,000-fold.
As you say, as opposed to the, you know, well-oiled machine that we're running with right now.
Yes, and their internet is much better than ours. We might be able to do this live.
Oh, yeah, we used to do that, remember?
Yeah, we actually got a lot of people watching that live when we did the Brownlow medal count.
I think that's an endorsement of how shithouse it is to watch the Brownlow medal count.
I just remember we really pissed off Thailand. I can't remember how, but I remember lots of Thai people were really angry with us.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah, that's going to happen.
You know, I can't remember how that happened either, but I don't doubt it.
No, I haven't felt like that since I worked at casinos.
Yeah, I do feel like the Brownlow medal count should be at the same speed as it is after the winner has been known, and they just knock off the last few games.
It should be the same speed as the Melbourne Cup, I'm going to be honest.
It's funny because I did watch the Dally M, which is the NRL version,
yeah,
and theirs is much different because...
They get drunker.
I don't know.
Legitimate people get votes,
but their votes are public for the first like 17 rounds,
right.
So everyone knows, and then after that they only count the votes of people that have a chance of winning.
Yeah.
So it might be round 18, Fred Bloggs, 3 votes. Round 19, and then that's it. You know, they don't worry about it because they're also rents. And they just get to the winner.
Yeah.
There's a lot to be said for that.
I mean, to be honest, I still wouldn't watch it.
No, probably not.
The weirdest part to me is, like, look, whatever gets people watching is fine, but the red carpet aspect of 2 hours?
Well, yeah, but who's that for? It's not for us, is it?
Yeah.
Quite clearly.
I think it's literally just for the sponsors.
Yes, as well. Of course it is.
Oh, and New Idea, who always comment on who looked fat. But I just don't see the point of it.
Well, you get the red carpet PowerPoint that comes out the day after, which is usually pretty good. I haven't seen that for the last couple of years.
Is it really?
Yeah, it was. It's hilarious.
I mean, you know, but this year they're actually going to struggle, I think, because they've got that the full Monty female version where the old ducks and wags get their boobs out. So, you know, they've stepped it up, and the Brownlow Medal's just going to have the same old gowns.
It's terrible they're competing with Broken Hill Festival. I'll tell you what.
The Broken Hill, yeah. Oh, well. It'll be Brownlow Medal without McAvaney this year.
Yeah, really?
So that'll be adding something to it, or, you know.
Sad. Is it still Gil going to do the counting?
Of course he is.
Sadly.
It's his highlight of his year. I do like the... as much as I rag on the Brownlow Medal night, I'll always watch it because what else are you going to do?
Set the odds.
Well, obviously you just browse right on your phone and have that playing in the background.
Yeah. It's exactly what I do. Because, you know, it's not really... It's something you can keep an eye on. You don't have to watch intently.
I see Paddy Dangerfield shortened dramatically now.
Yeah, well, he had a good year. I guess we can go through our Brownlow tips and that because there's only 2 games to cover this week. So
I'm gonna need some filler.
Exactly.
I'm gonna need some filler in this episode. We may as well start off with Steve's question. Fuck it.
Oh, all right.
Let's just revolutionise how we run podcasts now.
Fucking hell. Loose cannon.
I know. It was a bit unlucky we recorded earlier last week, so missed out on these questions. But.
We are, since we're talking about Steve in these Swans, we are in... best and fairest season as well, and Dane Rampey took out the Swans. I saw the other day.
He did too. Yeah,
I did.
I had a lovely photo of Luke Parker in the Melbourne, the Age, for his for Dane Rampey's win. Go figure that one out. But anyway,
yeah. All right. What's the best footy game you've been to?
Yeah, I know that one. That's easy. That was Hawthorn Geelong, the one where Tommy Hawkins kicked the goal after the siren. I want to say 2012. I think it was.
Yeah.
But that was one of those games where I think Geelong kicked 9-1 in the first quarter.
Yep.
And I remember even thinking, like, it's all right, we don't have to kick 9 in the second quarter. We just need to peg it back. And Hawks won the next 3 quarters, you know, by a little bit. Obviously, got their nose in front, and Tommy kicks the goal after the siren. Yep. I think that's the only game I've ever been to where there's been a goal after the siren. I remember just afterwards, like, you know, you think you'd be heartbroken that you just lost.
Yep.
But I'd seen an amazing game. I was just so happy to be there for it. Even though it was my team was losing, it was the greatest game.
Yeah.
The next, we had... went to that game with a few family members that were in town for the weekend. I remember the next day we saw another game at Marvel Stadium, or Etihad as it was then, between 2 teams that were, you know, bottom 6 or whatever.
Yep.
And we're just saying, like, can't believe this is the same league. Like, from what we saw last night to this, I can't remember who that game was, but yeah, that was the best game I've ever been to.
Josh?
Oh, you know, the best personally is probably the flag that went through in 96, but in terms of, like, most amazing game watching, I think it'd probably be round 2 2016, maybe Richmond v Collingwood, where Richmond were up by 5 with 5 minutes to go.
The Brody
just
goal?
Went nuts. Yeah,
that was the worst first half of football I remember. I remember that. And the last quarter was brilliant.
The best part though was all the Collingwood supporters went fuck it and left with 5 minutes to go, and there were thousands of them, thousands upon thousands, and it was just, and all of a sudden bang 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 bang, and then Grundy kicks the winner, and you're like,
out of nowhere.
And if you're a supporter that left that day, you had no bragging rights on Monday. You couldn't say shit.
The thing is, we literally watched a family break up. The dude stayed. The dude stayed and watched the end of the match.
Yeah, I remember that.
Not even joking. Mrs. left. Like, had a full-on domestic in front of everyone, obviously, going about how I hate your kids and fuck your kids, and, you know, I should never come here, and it's supposed to be our day together. And he's like, I ain't leaving. See you later.
Speaking of leaving early, I do happen to know that somebody left the 2010 grand final early. The drawn one.
Really?
Not the week after. They left the drawn grand final early.
Wow.
Was it Ross Lyon?
No. He maybe he should have, but it was an AFL player's parents. Wow. So they got the tickets for free. So
Yeah.
Brenton, your best game you've ever been to?
Well, it follows on from leaving the game early, actually. And it would be Adelaide Crows versus Richmond Tigers at Amy Park.
Footy Park back in the day.
Footy Park. Terrible place to watch football if you don't follow Adelaide Crows. Malcolm Blight, one of the greatest coaches ever, left the game at basically...
Is he though?
Like, no, he's not. No.
He's the Adelaide Crows best coach.
Makes my story better.
Left the game halfway through the fourth.
Halfway through. Not even halfway through. It was like the start.
Yeah.
He just went, fuck this, and watched him walk around the boundary line. It's not like he left back of house.
That's the funny thing, because where the coaches' boxes are on one wing, the ramp for the change rooms were on the opposite side of the ground.
Yeah, yeah.
So he walked around the ground
yeah.
to go get an early start.
Fuck it, I am done. And we doubled their score in the last quarter as well.
Didn't he not even go to the change rooms, just went to the club rooms?
He probably just fucked off and left.
Something like that, yeah.
I mean, like, he was obviously really, really not happy. And that was a time where... Everyone hated that Crows team, that side. Everyone hated them. They were fucking good, though.
What I also remember about that game was it was one of the first games I've been to for Richmond, I think, as well.
Yeah.
And we were sitting with the Richmond cheer squad.
And Richmond sucked at the time.
We were terrible.
They weren't great. Yeah, yeah, that's fair to say. But I remember seeing the members of the cheer squad. Obviously, they're all decked out, and they saw yourself and the old man in a few Tigers gear. They're like, Tiger, Tiger.
Yeah.
You got tickets? You got tickets, mates? Yeah. Oh, you're good. Yeah, you're all good. Yeah. All right, yeah, come with us. You know. But the camaraderie, because obviously the game was in Adelaide, so they're travelling anyway.
Yeah.
But they were just like, you're a Tiger. You're one of us. Come over.
Here we go.
And I thought that was great. I mean, it probably happens with every club. But
The thing is, I wasn't even wearing Richmond any garb. It's just that I was under 50, so like, obviously not a Crow supporter.
Well, yeah, it's like if you go to the zoo in the monkey exhibit and you see one of them playing chess. You're like, fuck, I'm going to see what that's going on there. Yeah, let's get him involved.
Yeah. Exactly.
Get a real ad. Tell us what's going on.
All right. Another question was, can you start a fire in Australia so I can come help? We did not start those fires in Queensland. I promise. That was not us.
It was always burning just as the world's been turning.
Yeah.
We did not do it.
It was, I can't remember any of the other rest of the fucking Billy Joel song.
And the last question is...
We didn't light it. We're just trying to fight it.
This one's just for me. Who is your favorite, Heath or Josh? They both know it's whoever's winning the fight.
The sniper.
Always been the way. Whoever's winning, that's whose side I'm on. I ain't stupid.
And you're very happy to retract that last statement.
I just told that story last night. And obviously, Heath and I are closer in age. And we
need to tell it now, don't we?
Yeah.
Yeah, being a, you know, brothers fighting as we grew up and whatnot. Brenton, a few years younger, wasn't quite built when he's, you know, much younger than the rest of us. He decided he'd... he wanted to get involved in the rough and tumble, and a few of the times we wouldn't go that hard, and but obviously being, you know, 40 kilos heavier definitely helped, and you'd hold him down and be like,
I'd hold my own.
You'd give it a fair old crack, and belligerent too, like wouldn't give up, and then you're like, you give up, and eventually you'd have to be like, okay, I'll give up, and then one time he ran away and he's like, I retract my last statement, and just kept on running. It's like, I don't know, you've been watching LA Law or some shit.
Yeah, I don't know how I realised that, but the defence does not work. It does not work. Ended up just turning both of them against me, and then I was fucked.
Dad!
He didn't help.
That's the way it goes.
He's like, you're on your own, son. I'm sure shit to do. Still beat up one of your mates, though. Scooter, still gave him a hiding.
I think everyone did.
Yeah.
Poor lad.
I actually armbarred him twice in 40 seconds one time in Adelaide. Twice.
Rightio. Yep. All right, we may as well cover off the games. No, I don't know. We were talking about Brownlow. So who's your tip? Because I've been on Lachie Neal all year, and I feel disingenuous to jump off now.
Yeah, I've got money on Neal.
Yeah.
I got 4.5, and I think that's fine.
I mean, I think this is the part where we tip someone that isn't Lachie Neal.
Oh,
no, if you think it's going to be Lachie Neal, tip Lachie Neal.
Oh, shit, that's not long enough odds for Josh to pick Lachie Neal. No, let's be honest.
I think Cripps is the value bet, because Dangerfield was down to 250 last I saw.
Well, he came home with a wet sale, Dangerfield. I reckon he's going to get sort of 9 votes in the last month of the year. So that's a strong finish. So if he's anywhere near or nearabouts at halfway, you'll shit at him.
Yeah, but Razor Ray kept talking him down, so I think he's stuffed.
So obviously I've got to go to the dark horse then. It's going to be my role.
Yeah, besides Paddy Cripps.
And obviously we're ignoring basically all of Western Australia because that's Vic Bias. You know what I mean? That's what we do. So just eliminate all of them. They have no chance.
Well, no, Nat Fyfe is the second or third favourite, I think.
Fyfe has still got a chance. Who? But it's just the old story, did Frio win enough games? But I remember him playing against Richmond. Richmond won by 72 points, and Nat Fyfe got 3 votes.
Yeah,
Fyfe missed about 5 games, didn't he, with injury?
I don't think it was that many, but he did definitely, he didn't play 22.
Some, yeah.
But he definitely missed a couple.
There was a few.
Yeah. More than one is the answer.
Yeah, exactly. So if you're going for a dark horse, I've...
Toby Green.
Ooh.
Don't think he's going to get there somehow.
Don't think he's going to make it.
I have, this brings me back to something else, but I have seen a few commentators that saying, you know, why can't Dusty win? You know, Dusty's slow start to the year, but he's come good in later on.
So
why can't he win?
Why did he have a slow start to the year?
He got suspended.
Yeah, there is that.
But anyway.
Still, they might be right. He might still actually find a way to win.
Oh, look, I wouldn't be surprised if they appealed the decision on Monday and the tribunal went, yeah.
Allegedly got suspended.
I mean, he might not win, but he could still go home with Charlie. You know what I mean?
Arrive with Charlie.
With Charlie.
All right. Starting off in the games then, on Friday night, I think I went 0-2 this weekend, Geelong and the Eagles. And Geelong got out to that 5-goal head start. Really put it on early, and I think it was they had options up forward.
I mean, that's been one of their key. If you're not a defensive powerhouse, basically, they've got enough people that they can push forward that makes it very, very difficult for you to match up on. Yeah. You need very, very strong defenders that are agile. You can't have lumbering defenders.
And the way they were moving the ball, they haven't moved it that well in ages.
Yeah.
And also the way they're kicking to Hawkins. Like, they were kicking on exactly the right side of the body for him to just...
Much better.
He muscled McGovern so often.
Well, that's
it. And also, who else played on him?
Schofield.
Schofield, that's it. Just too strong.
Might have heard about that this week, but anyway, we'll get to that in a little bit. But, McGovern especially, like, the best intercept marker going around. However, if he has to look after a man, it really plays against his strengths. And, you know, teams are starting to realise that now, that you can't just go throw some nobody down there as a defensive forward. Yeah. It doesn't work. You've got to make him accountable for somebody that's going to be dangerous.
Yeah.
You know, and now he's got to develop that part of his game as well, because he's, you know, third man up or leaving his man to go be the intercept marker is absolute trump card.
Yeah.
But when that doesn't work, you got to develop those other skills now.
And that's not a criticism on him. He's an All-Australian defender well-deserved, absolutely.
He's the best in the game at what he does.
But Geelong just happened to have a setup that works against his capabilities.
Yeah, and they had a couple of tall forwards as well. Like Radigalia got off the leash early.
He's deceptively tall for his speed.
Yeah. He's got some toe, that's for sure.
And then little guys like Grian Myers, he's been damn handy all season.
Yeah, for a first year.
And who else they have caused a bit of fucking chaos?
Dowhouse, I thought, had a good game.
He's been very handy this year.
I think he's fit into that role. Well, actually, not even a role. He's got a couple of different roles he can play. And he's fit in nicely, whether it be running across that half-back line or just being on an outside attacking forward 50 player.
Yeah. Now, I'm not a big one to buy into all the media hype. However, West Coast did look absolutely flat, especially at the start of the game.
They really did.
And you don't know how much the Willy Rioli situation played into that, but...
I'm saying
the effect is more than zero.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it kind of has to, because from what I understand, and look, this is filtered through 7 different newspapers, he didn't tell West Coast.
Yeah.
So he was on the plane, arrived in Melbourne, and then all of a sudden Asada's gone...
It was 11 o'clock that night, apparently. But from what I've heard, and again, same as you, through a million different referees, he might not have even known he did something wrong. He should have, but he might not have.
The story, as I understand it, is he's saying he couldn't take a piss.
Yeah.
And so he's decided, they're like, you've got to give me a sample. And he's in the end just gone with the Gatorade bottle. All right, fuck it, I'll put it in there.
There's something. Yeah.
There's a certain amount of logic, like, I'm going to drink the Gatorade, it's going to go through me, I'm going to piss it out. I can just shortcut the whole fucking process.
He could have even just said, you know what, here's some liquid, they're going to figure out it's not right and ask me to do another one another day.
Well, you should have given him a sperm sample.
I imagine they could test that.
If you're a shy pisser, imagine trying to fill the cup that.
I tell you what.
Mate, we need 90 mils. I'm trying.
Imagine the asada guy. Mr. Rioli, what are you doing? I've got a minute in a second, bloke. Yep.
We're going to have to go hardcore.
Keep quiet, mate.
Turn around.
Bend over.
Pose for me, like one of your French women. But apparently what happened, he put the thing in, gave the cup to them, and immediately they're like, nah, mate.
No,
this is blue?
That's not right, because they took another sample straight away.
Yeah.
An actual sample is what I mean.
But the thing is, with the testers too, their instructions are you don't correct them.
Yeah.
They fuck up like that. They've already fucked up. You don't go, no, mate. Okay, we've got to try it again.
Yeah, there's no do-overs.
Yeah.
But in the same session, they still took an actual urine sample. Yeah, I don't know whether it was 5 minutes later, an hour later, whatever. Yeah. So obviously he knew at that time that he fucked up because he's doing an A and B sample with Gatorade and an A and B sample with actual piss. So I think if you're in his position, look, whether he fucked up intentionally or not, I don't know.
Yeah.
They're going to come down hard on him because you can't have someone and go, oh, I didn't know. No.
It's your job to know. Yeah.
That's dumb as shit.
So if he's covering for something, the test will come back and they'll say, well, it's probably coke in the system. Who knows? But they have to come down on it because they don't want anyone to even try that shit.
Yeah.
Mm.
But it just seems just fucking weird. But to do that and then not tell West Coast, not let them know. So, by the way, I might have fucked up a bit. I might have put some Gatorade in my sample. What, you mean you tipped a bit in your piss? I'm like, no, just full piss. Gatorade.
Yeah. End up drinking my piss though. So, you know.
Oh, old Willie strikes again.
That was a switcheroo.
But I reckon it might have affected the team a little bit because coming out, they were such a different side from last week.
Yeah.
Where they look so dynamic.
Well, I do think any late change does affect a team.
Yeah, that too. It happened late.
Mm. I mean, losing Rioli for Petrucelli. Petrucelli came in
and played all right.
He did. He played pretty well. And I don't think there's a massive gap in ability in between the two of them, but I think in role there is.
Rioli is 24.
Rioli's the one you have. He's the one you pick.
He's a smart footballer as well. Petrucelli's still learning his craft, but he is as fast as they come.
But I don't think the gap is that dramatic.
Yeah.
But in terms of the role they play, it is. Because Rioli's that X factor. Like, you get the ball to him and you just wait and see what he does.
I did read another story, though, that it has. It's a real sliding doors moment because. And I don't mean in the Damien Barrett sense.
Well, I was going to say it's made up.
But Petrucelli was one of the cogs that was in motion for the Tim Kelly trade. And now they haven't got Willy Rioli for the foreseeable future.
Yeah.
They need Petrucelli.
Yeah.
So it's just, you know, anyway, that's...
Do you still trade him for Tim Kelly, though?
Well, you don't know. Things have changed. You've got to now reconsider something because you've lost a small forward. And if you were going to trade out another small forward, you can't lose two. Unless you got something else coming back. But anyway, it changes things.
They got Liam Ryan.
Yeah. But they definitely like the tandem of having them both there.
If you can keep everything and give away nothing, you'd be happy.
But
that's just not the way it works.
That ends the West Coast Premiership defence, obviously.
Actually, it was funny. They did have a chat to some of the supporters there.
Yeah.
And they're like, we'll be back next week. I'm like,
You won't.
No, anyway. Well, you can. The team won't be playing. Rock up to Melbourne, lads. Have fun.
They're like, no, we actually booked 2 weeks ticket.
They might have to
be back in Perth next week.
Could have happened. It's probably smart too, because if they did win, the airfares would have jumped up immediately.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I guess that's the risk you take.
Yeah.
So maybe that's exactly what they did. Maybe they're smarter than I thought.
Could be.
Well, maybe not, because it's still out of money.
You know, if you like footy, you'd go watch a prelim anyway, wouldn't you?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, we always say we watch more games than our own teams.
We're going Friday night, so...
Yeah.
It's my team.
It'll be the first prelim I've ever been to. I've never been to...
Me neither.
I've been to two finals. Sorry, three. One was the 93 grand final, but I've seen two other finals since then. How do you think Eagles went really defending? Because they finished fifth on the ladder and with Nick Nat and Gaff, which they didn't have last year, and went, well, objectionably worse.
I do think injuries hurt them a bit in terms of...
Absolutely, they did.
Not pure numbers, but in terms of roles to replace. Like, not having Nick Nat and then having him and I think when he was in the team, he was brilliant.
Well, he only came in for the last, what, two finals?
Yeah.
Really? And he played brilliant in the first one.
But I still think the team isn't used to him.
Maybe.
So it's sort of an upset to the rhythm. And also, you know, like Gaff's suspension at the start of the season as well, so they had to reintegrate him. And then they had all little niggles along the way. I think they came into September about as good as you'd expect, yeah, and probably just as good, if not better, than last year.
No, I reckon they lost their last two rounds, though.
No, I mean fitness-wise.
Fitness-wise, maybe, yeah.
But they just didn't seem to quite get it together. And then, I mean, you know, had they won the match against Geelong because Willie Rowley decided to not be a crazy man,
dingbat,
we'd probably be saying, oh, they're odds on for the champ. They did not.
Yeah, it's a very funny time too, because the claws were out for Chris Scott the week before because of Geelong's finals records. They win this week. Ah, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, it's all gone. The talk was going out in straight sets, and now it's suddenly, oh, they're a chance for the flag.
Yeah.
All right. Last year, they beat Collingwood in the first round of the finals.
Yep. Smashed Melbourne.
Obviously, Collingwood still up there. Yep. Smash Melbourne. That's obviously turned out to be not very impressive because Melbourne actually shit. And they beat Collingwood again.
Yeah.
So I feel like they had the easiest run ever to the finals last year.
But they fluked it. Playing Collingwood in the finals.
They all found out.
The deal was, though, they finished second on the ladder, so they had two home finals.
Yeah.
This time they finished fifth. They had the one home final. Yeah. But anyway.
So I think it was actually draw that got them a flag. There it is.
Yeah. All right. On to the Saturday game, which is the Brisbane Lions and GWS. Oh, sorry. We haven't talked about Hawkins and Schofield.
Oh, yeah.
I've got no problem with Geelong trying to challenge at the tribunal. They had no fucking chance.
Absolutely not. Yeah. But they, you know, you've got a free review.
You got to try something. Well, it's cost you 10 grand, but, you know, that's not much down in Geelong these days, is it?
No.
But I pay attention to Geelong a lot, and the Geelong fans, I mean, they have been some of the most one-eyed when it comes to tribunal decisions, and believe that they're still hard done by, even though Gary Ablett's allowed to elbow a bloke every third week.
Yeah.
But even Geelong fans are like, oh, I think he's in trouble.
It's
here.
Done, yeah.
When the most ardent one-eyed supporter.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
Was like, I don't know.
Good.
And then the defense was great, though. It was a running motion that happened to catch him high. I'm like, really?
Yeah.
They're trying the, I'm going to swing my arms. If you get in the way, it's your fault defense.
Yeah. I love it. Everyone's like, it was in play. I'm like, yeah, it doesn't matter, man. Still punched him.
All right, so you punch him in the face in play.
Yeah. Fair enough.
He's been done a few times too, old Tommy.
You see, I feel like, though, if you put him on the stand, he'd be fucking terrible.
Worst.
He'd be like, oh, look, I just swung my hand out while the ball was very close. I'm looking at you, defensive guy, defensive attorney, because you told me to say that. The ball was really close, and then I just punched him right in the face.
Yeah.
But the ball was close. And you see the defense attorney just sort of...
I feel like it'll be like a Rick James offense. He'd be like, do you really think I'd just go out and punch the dude in the face? Yeah, I punched him in the face.
Yeah. Was he the one earlier on the year that, I felt his teeth chatter? Or was that somebody else?
Jesus Christ, who said that?
I don't think it was him.
No, I don't think it was either.
That was someone that... I think they played North.
Must be in Tassie, must be cold.
I'm going to have to look that up. All right, so the other game, the Brisbane versus GWS, absolutely fantastic footy to watch.
Amazing.
I mean, what a contest it was, even though, honestly, I believe for the second week in a row, Brisbane shot themselves in the foot.
Absolutely, they did. Absolutely. This is like, this is the type of game that gives Brisbane a complex. And this is like the second team that Richmond have actually absolutely capitulated mentally.
Well, what surprised me most about this game was how many Brisbane supporters came out of the woodwork to comment on social media. There were thousands of them.
They came in, didn't they? Well, the Broncos, I think, they lose 58-0 in the NRL. So a few of them would come over.
Yeah. But, and to be fair, they probably got a few bad calls against them, but they had some fucking good ones all through the season, so I don't think they're going to complain too much, or at least not justifiably. But GWS, geez, their running game, that looked like it was a yard faster than Brisbane's. Having said that, Mitch Robinson, I think if he had of been able to take the field, could have been a different result.
Sorry, I have just looked it up. It was Harris Andrews, and you're right, it was against
Harris
North.
Andrews.
Wow. When he whacked someone, I felt his teeth clatter. Da-boom. So not the dumbest defence of the year, Tommy Hawkins, for the I'm swinging my arms, and if you're getting in the way, it's your fault, but close to it.
I think he might have hit Dumont. I can't really remember who he hit.
Larky, it might have been.
I think it was Larky, actually.
There's a fight you want to see. Jesus Christ. Jeez.
The 6'6" bantamweights.
None of them would get through a KFC three-piece feed.
Nah. No, they'd be able to sneak through a picket fence.
Yeah, I mean, neither would Ben Brown, because he doesn't need it, but anyway.
Back to the Giants and Brisbane. Yeah, I thought the crowd was actually fantastic. Yeah, the crowd always thinks they're getting the rough end of the stick. And there was a lot of free kicks paid early on, and the umpires were getting very involved. The commentary on this game was one of the worst of all season. I'm not a big fan of just paying the commentary, but they were not shut up,
percent.
And they were wrong.
Yeah.
Especially Lincoln's like, I wish the umpires had stopped. No. The umpires did a great job in this game. They made some poor decisions, but the knuckle was on from the opening bounce.
Yeah, exactly.
They needed to get control before it got out of control.
Yep.
And that's why they were talking a lot and trying to calm the players down. I mean, you're never going to calm them down, but at least rein them in.
Yeah.
I thought, they made some mistakes. They missed a throw that went towards that last goal, but it's in the middle of a fucking pack. I guarantee you there's 50 of them per game.
Exactly. But I feel like the commentary team in general, the entire Channel 7 commentary team, have had a massive hard-on for Brisbane for the last couple of months. Yeah. That's what made Richmond's win so satisfying, was listening to them just be like, it's that, here's what's going on, Brisbane, amazing game for Brisbane. Like, we fucking pumped them, mate. Amazing game.
They've been brilliant, just brilliant.
Yeah.
Brilliant. And then there was a controversy around smacking Charlie Cameron in the arm, which, that looked horrible when he hyperextended it in the first 2 minutes, wasn't it?
I haven't watched it since, and I'm not going
to. No, they kept replaying it. I'm like, no, I've seen it. I've fucking seen it enough
now. Exactly.
It pisses me off because the umpire warned them, don't hit him in the arm. And they're saying, why? You're not allowed to? There's a bit of niggle. Like, the fucking law's changed specifically for that.
Yeah.
And what I hate then, and it happened, I think, on radio as well, somebody actually went, no, this is the law, they're not allowed to do it.
Yeah.
And I went, but hang on. How is that meant to be interpreted? That's meant to be applied. No. This is the exact situation why that rule came into play. Yeah. And they're fucking trying to enforce it. And the commentator, one after another, got it wrong.
Yeah, because they're ex-football players. They're not smart. They're dumb as shit. They've got CTE. They've been bashed around. And like, if they were smart, they wouldn't be football players. They'd have an education, basically.
Well, I think that's one of the detriments of the footy boys club.
Yep.
Like, let's be honest. Who's the best ex-football player commentator going around?
Best ex-football players who are smart go into coaching. They go into actual jobs, roles.
Who's the best ex-footy player in the media?
We've proven you don't need to be smart to have an opinion on what's going on.
I don't think there is one that does play-by-play. Special
in
comments?
In the media in general, I'd probably say Jason Dunstall was up there.
Dunstall was my number one, and not just because he was my favourite player growing up, but... he'd be up there. Chris Judd says some smart things sometimes in a very weird,
fucking dumb
weird way.
In a weird way. Matty Lloyd has the worst tone, but what he says is actually insightful at times. But you're right. Not many. When I put down my best 10 journos, I don't think a former player would be in the top 10.
I don't think they'd be in top 20.
No, and look, the journos vary in quality too.
Yeah.
But the thing is, if they suck, they lose their job.
Yeah.
Sam McClure is still fucking writing articles based off Reddit. What are you talking about? Jai, what are the fucking...
Yeah, Whitnell.
Jab Whitnall, Bednall, fucking...
But every year they get held accountable for that shit, is what I mean.
Sort of, yeah.
Nothing changes, though. He's still got a job, doesn't he? Probably. I don't know. Something. That, but, yeah, basically... yeah, browsing Reddit can get you a career in journalism. I was just having this conversation the other night with my girlfriend. I remember when I was going to university, when I first applied outside of high school, journalism was fucking impossible to get into. It was like 98%.
Yeah, yeah.
Very popular. It. Yeah. Now, where anyone can be a journalist, basically... How far do you reckon that percentage has dropped in, like, New South Wales?
What's the score?
What do you reckon the score is
Did
now?
You look it up?
I did.
Oh, okay. Yes. I'm going to say 80.
What do you reckon, Josh?
72.
Still 85.
Yeah.
You still need to be that. There's that many dumb people that are still applying for a journalism degree at 85 UAI.
Yeah. When
insane.
You know, get yourself a good Twitter following, you can be a journo.
Get yourself a Behringer Zenix 1202 USB mixing desk, a couple of short microphones, and, you know, I don't know, old man's laptop.
Or play, you know, 100 games. You know,
actually, that too. Yeah.
Tony Armstrong did the play-by-play call this year for Triple M, and he was good. He was really good. I remember that one game. But yeah, you're right. Not much.
Actually,
but
the funny thing really... is some of the play-by-plays on Triple M I find are better than the Channel 7.
Yeah.
Like Gary Lyon, when he does the play-by-play on the TV, I think he's shit-house. But when he's actually doing the play-by-play on SEN or Triple M, I find him much better. And I can't explain why that is.
I think he's SEN these days. But yeah.
Either one.
Yeah.
Well, that's right. He's gone back to Triple M since, you know.
But my problem is it's a lot of the same commentators on 7 that do Triple M. And occasionally they just start talking amongst themselves.
Yeah.
And I'm like, guys, just call the fucking game.
Yeah. And like, I still understand what your in-jokes are and what you're talking about.
Yeah.
It's still not funny. Like, you are just...
I just call the game, guys. Exactly. I'm here to watch the footage.
It's all right to say nothing.
There was one where Brayshaw and a few others were talking about the fashion they all had on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hello. Like, radio.
Honestly, I don't mind Brayshaw on Triple M.
Yep.
But on the TV, he seems to get a bit fucking lost.
But yeah, talking about what they're wearing on radio just doesn't really make sense, does it?
No.
Zero sense.
But anyway. What annoyed me too was it was an absolutely cracking game of finals footy. And honestly, Brisbane should have probably won.
They absolutely should have won.
When it came down to the final quarter, the Giants were out on their feet.
Yeah.
They got that one goal, you know, with a throw, but it was against the play. The ball lived in the forward half of Brisbane. They just could not get a clean bloody shot.
Yeah, and it's not the first time in the final series that this has happened. Exactly. Obviously there's something they've almost built themselves on how attacking their forward line can be.
Yeah.
And they got exposed really bad.
Yeah, I think so too. Maybe it was a little bit of stage fright. But what I did love was, okay, they went out in straight sets. And some people can think that's an embarrassment. Their fans booed the umpires, then cheered them.
Yeah.
But and I'm glad that's
exactly what you want.
But how good that if you're Fagan or the marketing department in Brisbane, people are disappointed they dropped out of finals.
Imagine if you're the NRL.
Yeah.
Like, they must be looking at this and go like, fuck, we are screwed. Like, Brisbane are getting a bigger, they go out of stray sets, they're getting bigger crowds than the Broncos.
Especially because they stitched up the Melbourne Storm the night after.
Yeah. But remember,
that hand was in, motherfucker.
Brisbane have been here before, though.
Yeah, that's very true. Away,
you know, you got to make hay while the sun shines.
Yeah, but they've built Fagan up to, you know, Lee Matthews-esque capabilities over there.
But also, the thing is, they've built this team. They didn't recruit this team.
Yes. I'd say they've done an equal amount of both.
I mean, when you've got 10 years of two top 10 draft picks per year, you can do that.
You can lose one or two, but they've managed to keep some and turn them into really, really good players.
Like
even Daniel Rich, who's 200 games in now, and he's at pick three, I reckon, when he started.
Yeah.
He's had his best season ever.
Yeah.
You know? And a lot of it, there's been obviously a lot of talk about this one as well, that it was down to Luke Hodge.
Yeah.
So this is the second time he's retired now. Much quieter this time around, but it is amazing that I think his 2 years at Brisbane were better than his last year at Hawthorn.
Yep, I completely agree.
Yeah. I think too, like, he had a much bigger role to play because he was the sole leader.
No, he was a coach.
He was a coach, especially in the locker room.
But Mitch Robinson did a lot of the on-field stuff as well, but he was looking to Hodge.
Yeah,
while he's doing
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. Basically, you're trying to stop. Fucking, what's his name? Mitchell.
Sam Mitchell?
No, the Brisbane player that we were talking about.
Mitch Robinson.
Mitch Robinson, yeah. You're trying to get him to stop I know, that's what I was trying to ask you what it was.
Stop punching fuckers.
Yeah, basically to turn into Luke Hodge, not into fucking Jordan Lewis, basically. Yeah. That was the goal. And like, I think he might actually get there.
Well, I don't think he can. Solely because Hodge can punch people in the face and still get the free kick.
That's very true.
I think Mitch Robinson is very coachable.
Yeah.
I don't think he's a coach.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
But he's a heart and soul player. And
absolutely.
You'll need those in your squad.
Nothing wrong with that at all. Like I said, he'll do anything you tell him to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, like leave. Mitch, yeah, you're going to Brisbane. All right, cool.
Yeah. But you've got the flamboyant players, and they're like, yeah, Cam Rainers and even McCluggage to a degree.
Yeah.
And they've got their stalwarts. They've got a really good fucking mix. And yeah. Steph Martin, I think, is probably underrated these days. I think he was overrated for a short period there and had a very quiet, probably 17 and 18.
Yeah. Brisbane would have lost by 5 goals if Steph Martin wasn't playing. Yeah, he killed Mumford in the ruck all night.
I think he out-muscled him.
So Mumford's done. He's gone.
Yeah. Yeah. He's gone. Yeah. There's a good chance that Sam Jacobs is going.
That's what I heard. Yeah.
Jacobs I did see. Like, will Adelaide have a team next year?
Yeah.
Seems
to be a bit of an exodus.
I feel like I could send a resume in and I'll at least get a tryout.
Well, I mean, yeah, we'll get to Adelaide. Anyway, we'll get to Adelaide eventually, but they have announced their
coaching will be the few
selection panel this week. But
Oh, selection panel.
It's just funny that North has managed to stitch up more players, and we don't have a GM, don't have a list manager, don't have a fucking anyone. Apparently, Adelaide are losing.
They just haven't started yet.
In theory,
the Donald Trump approach to AFL.
I think the marketing department's actually hiring and firing everyone at the moment. They're the people with the contract.
Oh, it's better than what they usually do.
This is very true.
Yeah, that is a shit-ass job.
Hey, they put the issues to bed.
Yeah, they certainly did.
Yeah.
It is funny, though, when I think back on this game, like, I remember so many more plays from Brisbane and stuff like that, even though the Giants obviously won.
Well, I remember one of GWS's.
Old Toby Green.
Yeah.
Well, this is funny, because I've gone...
This wasn't as bad as last week, to me.
I think I've done a 720 on this one, because originally I thought, well, he should have gone last week, he got away with it, okay. And I saw this one, and I went, you know what, I don't see anything in that. I reckon he's actually going to be okay. And then he gets reported, and then the day after, you see the actual footage, you go, oh, no, you're fucked.
Yeah.
Now they're appealing it as well. Can't see it happening. It's not going to work.
I mean, you do. You do appeal it.
Yeah.
Because, hey... It's the it's illogical, it's stupid, and it should never get off. But it is the AFL MRO we're talking about.
Hey, it's Hail Mary.
And look, they've made dumber decisions in the past.
He's 100% getting off.
You reckon?
Yeah, 100%.
On appeal.
He is playing. He's on appeal. Yeah, 100%.
Well, it's too bad that the GWS game's on the Saturday, because if he rocked up on the Friday night, on the Saturday you'd have Honey Talkins turning up.
It is lucky that it's the Giants, not the Swans, because if it was the Swans, they'd go to the Supreme Court and get
absolutely. Yeah.
And he'd be playing and then get suspended in October.
The thing is, Swans did that about 5 grand finals over a period. Like, Dunkley and Barry Hall.
Yeah, Barry Hall. Although Dunkley was the one who he got suspended after. He got reported in the prelim, got suspended. They appealed it to the Supreme Court, got an injunction. Played the grand final, then got suspended.
Yeah.
Barry Hall, they argued a loophole.
And
the AFL would do anything to get Sydney a premiership back then.
So they went back through the film and scrubbed him out of all the replay footage.
That was the one where they had to redefine what in play means, because he was 50 metres off the ball when he whacked.
That's right.
But he was running towards where the ball might have gone had it been kicked.
Basically, their argument was on the field is in play.
Yeah.
It was perceived in play. He perceived that he was in play.
He was positioning himself so that he would be in play had the ball been kicked, which it wasn't because the other team had it. But
eventually it was going
If Sydney had got the possession, it would have been in play because he would have been in the area to get it.
I think Tommy Hawkins almost tried to argue that again this week.
But I think Tommy Hawkins did try, but he's not the orator that Barry Hall is, which is fucking saying something.
And his QC said, shut the fuck up.
All right, we may as well look at the prelim finals this week. We got the Tigers first off against Geelong without Tommy Hawkins. Sounds silly, but I don't think that's as big of a out as
it could Tom be. Hawkins in. He's been touched up by Grimes all season.
Yeah, okay.
I think so, anyway.
I don't think he was. I think the one time that Geelong and Richmond played, I think Geelong accounted for Richmond very easily.
Was it Tony Hawkins responsible, though?
I don't know. I don't remember.
I'm going to say yes.
I know it was a 5 or 6 goal win.
And so I was totally just going rogue there. So I have the feeling.
But they'll have Radaglia or, you know, they're even talking about Lockie Henderson playing up forward. So they'll have other tools.
Yeah.
Not as good as Hawkins, but I don't feel like they rely on Hawkins as much as they
used
to.
That's why I prefer him to be in. Because I don't think they'll think they're a worse team with him in, to be honest. So,
and adds, without him there, it adds some unpredictability.
That's exactly right.
Like,
there's
it
no
might
focus.
Be, might be Dangerfield going up forward.
They've got
that's 20, a hard matchup.
20 of the best midfielders in the fucking league.
Yeah.
They can kick goals. And if they're let loose to just basically be archers from 50 metres out and just rein them in, very, very hard to defend against that. Especially with Richmond, who they pride themselves on their
team defence.
Yeah. And it's their last line of defence is rock solid.
Wouldn't
and
it be funny?
If they kick it over the head, doesn't matter.
Wouldn't it be funny if Dusty and Danger lined up on each other and both struggle to get a touch? They both move forward.
Yeah. Opposite ends.
Yeah.
That's going to happen. That's what happened to the Brisbane game. Dusty couldn't get a kick in the midfield, goes forward, kicks six.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah.
The other thing that was interesting this week is Chris Scott came out and said Richmond aren't as good this year as they were last year. Mm. And, like, you know, that's the headline. You know, obviously you can see supporters, you know, getting up in arms, but objectively, I think he's right.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, because you had Alex Rance last year.
Yeah. But, I mean, to be honest, like, my favourite cup of salt is chicken salt. The second is Brad Scott's salt. Chris Scott's salt. That is my favourite type.
They're both the same flavour.
Well, he was
both
salt. The same flavour, exactly. Yeah, all tastes like chicken.
He was salty last week and they got up, so maybe he's just decided, fuck it. I'm just going to Donald Trump this shit.
In for a penny, in for a pound.
He's been salty for a long time, especially like the Tigers. It's great. It's always, there was the home field thing.
Yeah, but he's texting Brad, and what should I say this week? Oh, I know, we'll fucking get him stirred up.
But I love it. I much prefer it than the, you know, oh, we really respect them as a team. You know, they're going really great.
Yeah,
because coaches say that about every team.
Yeah.
The team that's 1-17, oh, yeah, we really respect them, though. They've got some good games.
Yeah,
no, you don't.
It's entertaining, but this is like the, you know, the missus says, do I look fat in this? And you want to say, look, love, you could, it's probably a bit cuddly. You know, that's the fucking dumbest thing you could throw out there. And Chris Scott's at that level of, I guess, marriage to the club. Where he's like, I don't give a fuck. Yeah, no, they were better last year. Fuck it. What you going to do? Freaky diggy.
It's one of those things like, technically, I think he's right. But anyway, I like it.
Why are you booing me? I'm right.
So how do you see this one going, Brenton? How are the Tigers going to win?
I think we're actually going to be behind for three quarters. And we're going to outrun
them.
Yeah, outrun them. Yeah.
Rain forecast as well.
No, well, I think feel like that advantages us.
Always. Yeah. Richmond are the best wet weather side ever.
I don't think it's forecast anymore. It was forecast earlier in the week when I checked. Today, it's supposed to be windy, but no rain.
All right.
Well, that early in the week is yesterday.
Yeah, but this is Melbourne, though, so it could change 4 or 5 times.
Friday, 10% chance of rain. Saturday, definitely raining.
Oh, there you go, 10%.
So you never know.
It was higher when I checked it, I thought. But anyway.
Yeah, it has changed. I've been pretty harsh on Tom Lynch all year, but I think this is his time to shine.
He's got better as the year's gone on.
He has gotten quite good. And I don't think Geelong have the tall forwards to match him and Revolt.
Backman.
Well, yeah, I think it's our small backman. They're going to actually run them all over.
Tall backs, yeah.
Bashahuli is going to have a fucking killer game.
You reckon?
Yeah. Who are they going to put on him? They've got too many other people to cover. Yeah. They run out of talent to put on someone like Bashahuli.
Actually, you know what? We really good if Bashahuli plays on Ablett because Basha loves to run forward.
Yeah.
And I've noticed a few teams, that's how they've tried to play Ablett. Is look, you know, he's too skillful when he gets ball in hand.
Yeah.
But defensively, like, he can't run around with a 24-year-old.
He can't spell defense. He doesn't care about it. He's not interested.
That's not his game. He's never been his game. And rightly so, because he's the best at what he does.
Exactly. I mean, his career high tackles are 3. So, you know.
Yep.
And two of those were tackling his own players to get the ball off. Yeah. You don't kick it. Fuck you.
Yeah, those ones at Gold Coast.
Let me do the kicking.
Yeah. Listen here, cunt. Fuck. Yeah,
all right. He punched the bloke and that bloke got reported.
But he asked for forgiveness afterwards, so it was all right.
Yeah.
So, Josh, you reckon Tigers or...?
I think I have to, because I think they've got too many potent forward weapons that Geelong can't counter. And their speed out of the back line is faster than Geelong's.
I think Richmond are going to be too fit. And I reckon you're right, Brenton. If they're not in front by three-quarter time, they'll run over them anyway.
Yeah. And also, the AFL is going to do everything they can to get a Collingwood-Richmond grand final.
It'd be lovely.
I think Geelong going to be fired up for this game. It's going to be a red-hot contest, but I don't see it going four quarters.
I think it's actually deeper than that, too. I think the Vic government wants this to happen. Just because they're going to put... because they've got facial recognition now at the MCG. They're going to have the warrant officers there.
It's going to be so bad.
Outstanding warrant. You with me, mate. You with me. They're going to have paddy wagons just lined up around the fucking block.
I tell you what, Richmond-Collingwood grand final, the winner is the scalpers, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Christ.
Well, lady. And 9 months later, lawyers that handle child support.
I mean, I've got a AFL Gold membership now, which means I get a second crack at grand final tickets. Yeah. Richmond Collingwood, I won't get a shot. I won't even get a look.
I already saw like the actual membership raffle come out, ballot come out.
Yeah.
Only gold members. That's
exactly.
Like silver members,
no.
Don't even bother.
No. But even gold for other clubs, don't get a look in.
Yeah, the funny part years, with Richmond v Collingwood, what's the capacity? Like 112,000 or something?
Yeah, something like that.
There's going to be 120 there.
Yeah.
And there might only be 90,000 tickets sold.
Yeah.
But those motherfuckers will find a way to jump the fence, crawl through, good tunnel. They will. Dude,
I'm wearing red, putting on a bright yellow vest with a footy record.
I guarantee. Straight in there. I guarantee there's a few going to the prelim who are just going, I'm fucking staying.
Yeah.
I will camp out for the whole fucking week. They're going to be, in the third quarter, if you see someone buying like 10 meat pies, that's what they're fucking surviving on for the next week.
Last week, I thought for the other prelim, which is Collingwood and GWS, I thought whoever won out of Brisbane GWS would walk through Collingwood. Now that GWS are in trouble, they've lost Green, they've lost Lockie Whitfield to appendicitis today, they're in trouble.
They are in big trouble.
And they ran out of legs in the final quarter against Brisbane.
Yeah.
That took a lot out of them.
If they were full tank, I'd be on GWS.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
But they're not.
No, they've got Canelio, Whitfield, Green sitting in the stands. Yep. Like, that's, they're decent fucking players.
Yep.
Oh, they'd walk into any side.
Yep.
That's your spearhead right there. That's your best second and third.
I mean, the only flick is that Stevenson isn't coming back for Collingwood, is he?
No, Stevenson is. DeGoey
isn't. DeGoey
isn't. He's very unlikely for the grand final.
Grundy's got his bags packed to go to Adelaide. And he's the literally only person in the fucking country who seems to be in that boat.
On their way to South Australia.
Yeah.
He's Grundy's flying the plane.
Grundy's obviously going to be the key to this one because Stefan Martin dished up Mumford last week. And now Grundy's a step up again.
Yeah.
So I reckon Mumford's going to get reported in the first 5 minutes.
Yeah, I think Grundy's just too good. Like, if it was Stefan Martin playing against Grundy, I think their strengths are opposite and they'd match up quite well.
Yeah.
But I think Mumford's just too far in the sedentary tank mold.
They're going to need a Grundy plan.
Yeah.
And I think that's where they're going to fall down.
Yeah, I think that's all I can do. Just run straight through the fucker.
Yeah. Yep.
But Grundy, for all his scarecrowishness, he's not a small lad.
No. And he's not dumb either.
Yeah.
He's one of the smartest ruckmen going around.
Yeah.
And he's a lot younger than Mumford too.
Yeah.
So
he's got 10 years on Mumford, I reckon.
Yeah, I reckon if Mumford gives him one in the guts, look, he'll probably stay down for a good 5 minutes, but he'll be up and running again straight away.
Yeah.
Whereas Mumford's likely to do a fucking knee halfway through a quarter. Not that it'll affect his mobility much. No.
He's likely to do a line, too.
Yeah, he's meant to do some keys during the quarter.
You think he saw Willie Rioli's thing? He's like, fucking amateur.
So are we all on Collingwood then? That's what it sounded like?
I don't want to be, but
that's
where it is.
Like I said at the start of the final series, GWS are the ones I want to win. I can't see it happening.
I just want to see a Collingwood-Richmond grand final in my lifetime.
Yeah.
Yeah, and at the start of the final series, I think I said that. Like, is it better for Collingwood to go out in straight sets or to get to the grand final and lose again?
It is exciting.
Honestly, I think if they make it against Richmond, they don't match up well.
They beat them last year, though, didn't they?
They did.
In a prelim.
They did.
It wasn't close.
But, I mean, look, I'm sure we'll have the fucking chat next week about it. But, I'm on Collingwood for this one.
Yeah.
Actually, I did see Sam Murray.
got delisted.
Yeah, got delisted. He tested positive to coke in his...
last year, was it, or the year before? Yeah.
Was it coke in PEDS or PEDS in coke? Or
he had PEDS in his coke.
Yeah.
Clenbuterol, right? That one?
Yeah, I think it was.
Right. Yeah.
I think it was about the fourth bloke at Collingwood to get that done.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's funny for me that he's been completely delisted after they've had him on the list right up until now.
Well, I think that they've decided to do the right thing. Well, I say do the right thing. They decided to look after him, you know, and keep him under their wings so that they can do whatever support they can. Now, apparently they can't actually pay for his QC or any of that kind of stuff, but you keep him in the system, you keep him, you know, training, you keep him, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, they don't need him as a player.
I mean, I hope another team picks him up because he seemed like he had a bit of
talent. Bit of skill.
But, I mean, if the only negative is that he got caught for coke, I mean, fuck's sake.
Yeah, definitely show you how that shit.
There's a lot of other players that have too.
Yeah.
I will guarantee fucking tea. There's players on every fucking team. There's coaches on every game. There's people at AFL House.
I mean, I try and pick the Tiger player that doesn't take coke. I mean, obviously, Alex Rance.
Yes.
Then it's a struggle. It's a struggle.
I don't think Alex Rance would do diet coke.
Yeah.
No, I'm saying Dusty, just for the fact that he must be the most tested fucking player in the AFL by now.
Fuck it. Someone is just shipping clean urine into his household.
Yeah. All right, I think that'll do us for this week.
Yeah.
All right, looking fun. Forward to grand final week next week.
Peace.
Good luck.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.